Fred.
I don't think so.
You find your outline, your bulletin, and we think about today and our celebration of freedom and the joy of the Lord and what it means to know Him, my Savior. You'd find that, please. Obviously, as we celebrate the 4th of July and the freedom that Christ has given, we want to thank Him for that and remember that in Jesus and in Jesus alone is our real freedom. It's because of who He is and what He does in us and through us. So, if you have your outline out, I want to begin by saying, I thank Jesus for freedom in America. I'm grateful to live in a country where we have the freedoms that we now have in this land. And they are here because God has allowed them to be here. And there are many other places in the world to live, but I still believe America's top notch. I believe it's the top of all of them. God's let us live here. I thought about that, Lowell. I'm thankful God let me do it because I could have been born in some other place. I've thought about why did God let me be born in America? I don't know. I'm just glad He did. I'm grateful that He's let me live in this place and be born here because I could have been somewhere else. Earlier, Dennis talked about the nation whose God is the Lord. On your notes, I said, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. I recognize that we are drifting from that concept in America. I wish we would return a little bit more to it and pray that it will be so. But I'm reminded today, I'm thankful that freedom in America has been blessed by God and God's allowed us to have this kind of freedom. And some are questioning that, but I want us to think about the fact that many of those individuals who began this country had a concept of God and of faith, and importance, how important that was. They might not have been exactly like I would believe, but they had faith in the Lord. And that I'm convinced that we are where we are today as a country. We are here because of people who in our history as a nation had faith in God, who had a concept of God. And so I want you to think about that. So I've asked them to prepare a video that's going to share about these individuals. You guys got that? Okay, let's watch it, see what it says about early followers of this country, other leaders. Thank you. Just a reminder, there is a heritage that we have. Didn't mean we're perfect as a nation, but we do have a good background. So I thank God for the freedom in America. Secondly, I'm saying look to Jesus for freedom. Look to Jesus for freedom. Scripture says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed." The basis of all freedom has to do with the relationship to Jesus Christ and following Him in that. So we look to Jesus for this freedom, which begins inside us through faith in Christ. I'm going to think about some things of how Jesus does that and how we look to Jesus for freedom in the next several sections. But I'm saying today, I'm grateful for our country, I'm grateful for our leaders, but ultimately it's the Lord Jesus Christ who sets men free and women free and our hearts free. So let's think about that. First one is, let Jesus free me from sin. Let Jesus free me from sin. We sang about that, I noticed in the songs earlier this morning as we sang. But it talks about our need for freedom from sin. And I noticed the computer left off a letter, so it's if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Scripture says that we do sin. When we think about it, I would ask you, but it'd be a question you'd already answer, is anybody here who has not sinned? I don't see any hands. We all have sinned at some point in our life, and we need the grace of God. Now, the Scripture says that the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The good news is, when I come to Christ and confess I've been out of line with the Lord, I've not served Him as I ought to, or there have been places in my life where I've been out of fellowship with Him, and I ask Him to forgive me, He cleanses me. The good news is, it doesn't take Him all day to do it. Because when you confess our sin to Him, which this Scripture talks about, He is faithful. You can count on Him to do two things. Forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the good news is that no matter what, He cleanses us, frees us from our sin. From His control, His dominion in our life when we come to know Him. So I think about it in two ways. Talking about confessing our sin. First, we initially come to Christ. There's a place in our life and a point in our life where we are not saved. We're not a child of God. We're not born again. There comes a point where we realize we're lost. We need to be forgiven. We've sinned against God. And we need to ask Jesus Christ to save us and forgive us. That's the beginning point. And so I'm grateful for that point. So the good news is He'll forgive us. The good news is it doesn't matter how much either. He'll forgive it all. The good news is when He forgives, He forgets. It's no longer against us, which I don't understand. You think about it, it's kind of hard to forgive and say, well, it's all, you don't remember it. God didn't remember it anymore. But there comes this initial confession of our sins to Christ, and He frees us. He takes it out of us. He takes sin's dominion away, and it no longer is our controlling force in our life. I'm grateful when I come to Christ and ask Him to save me, He does break sin's hold on my life. Before you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're under the dominion of the devil, of sin and wrong, and you really can't get out of it because you're under it until Jesus breaks the hold through faith in Him and letting Him save your soul, change your life, become your Lord. Then He frees you. Because as a child of God, you can't ever say the devil made me to do it. As a child of God, you sin deliberately. You don't have to. He breaks this hold on our life, and He changes it. Yes, some things we have to learn to do better and develop better when we grow in, but He breaks that hold in our life. But it says, the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. The nature of that statement in the Scripture passage is, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Because I find, and I think if you're honest, you find that I have to be cleansed from sin more than once. That sometimes during the day or during the week I mess up. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me from those sins as well. And I'm grateful that He didn't say, well, I did it back there, so you're out of luck. I did it once, forget it, you're out of luck. No, the blood of Christ keeps on again and again and again. We talked about this, about asking God to forgive us of our sins. And sometimes they say, well, I've repeated them and I don't want to have to go back again. But what I thought about is when Peter asked Jesus, and I mentioned this in the class this morning, when Peter asked Jesus how many times should he forgive seven times? Jesus' answer was, not seven times, but what? 70 times seven. Now, if Jesus tells us that we're to forgive 70 times seven, to each other, how many times do you think He'll forgive us if we keep on coming and asking Him to forgive us again and again and again if we need to? See, the devil says to you, well, you messed up. He forgave you once. You might as well forget it. No, I can come again and again and again because the blood of Jesus will keep on cleansing me from my sin. And then one thing will probably happen is I'll probably get tired of asking. So I say, God, help me not even do that anymore. I don't want to have to come back again. And it may encourage us to not repeat those sins. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Therefore, the second passage that's on the bottom of your notes says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That ought to be a hallelujah time. If you're a child of God and you belong to Christ and the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing you, there is no condemnation. I'm grateful to know that when I meet the Lord Jesus, there is no condemnation. When I go to heaven, there's no condemnation because it's all covered by the blood of Jesus. Does that excuse my sin? No. Because the Scripture says, God forbid. It's not an excuse to do wrong, but it is a joy to know that when I confess it to Him, He says, Jesus does not condemn me anymore. So when He sees each of you who knows Him, He does not see you as a condemned sinner. He sees you as a child of God, born again of His Spirit, made a new creation in Christ, and that's how He sees you and us and me in Him. And I thank the Lord for the freedom that I can be free from the sin. It don't always get me free of the consequences of what I do, but it frees me from its power in my life. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the life is in Him, has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is if you sin, you die. But the law of life in Jesus is if He forgives us our sin, He gives us life instead. And so the law of life in Christ overpowers the law of sin and death. And you have new life in Christ because of Him. So I thank the Lord for that freedom. And so I'm saying today, let Him free you from your sins. If you have never come to Jesus, come to Jesus. If you come this morning and you have sin in your life and the Lord puts His finger on it and you need to get rid of it, you say, God, forgive me my sin right now. The good news is you don't have to wait till this service is over. If at this point in this service, God says to you, that's wrong in your life, you don't have to wait to do it. You can say to Him right now in your mind, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me of that. And He'll do it that quick. You don't have to, and it's done, over, and you can go home clean. Isn't that good news? Amen. It's good news that we can say to Him, thank you, Lord, for freeing me from my sin. Freeing me that I may know You as Savior and Lord. I'm grateful for that. On the other side of your notes, let Jesus free me through the truth. Let Jesus free me through the truth. So Jesus is saying to those Jews that believed in Him, if you continue My word, which is important, of course, then you're truly disciples of Mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth will make you free. Now, Jesus is the truth, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But truth. What does it mean, truth will make you free? Let me ask you, just in a everyday sense, when you have something going on in your life and you don't feel good, but you don't know what it is, you think, is it cancer? Is it a heart attack? Is it whatever? When you go and find out what it is, do you not feel a little bit better even though you don't like what you got? There's certain amount of freedom in knowing this is what I've got. This is what I'm dealing with. And even in that sense, the truth sets me free to deal with whatever has to be. If I don't acknowledge the truth, then I won't get any help. I won't go for whatever or ask the Lord to help me, but whatever. So, but I'm saying that the truth, he says, if you know the truth will make you free. I want to suggest a couple of areas. I need to know the truth about who God is and who Jesus Christ is. I need to believe that he is who he says he is, that Jesus Christ really was God, is God, always will be God. He came down here and lived as a human being for a period of time, went to the cross for our sins, arose the third day, ascended to heaven, and is coming back. I know that's simple, but it's basic. It's the truth. I need to know the truth about who God is and about what it means to know him. And so when I know who he is, then I'm free to trust him further. But I want to know the truth about God. Do you suppose the devil tries to keep anybody from knowing the truth about God? Do you suppose that if you listen, you can hear in our culture today, well, all roads lead to God, it doesn't matter. You have people who say to you, well, this book or that book is as good as the Bible. It's not. The truth liberates you because it points you to the living God. But I want to suggest, not only do I want to know the truth about God, I want to know the truth about me. Who am I and what am I doing and what's my life like? Is it possible that you can sort of snowball yourself? Can you sort of, you know, you don't want to admit certain things. But if you know the truth about where you are, can you do something about it? Can you come to God and say, this needs to be changed in my life? So the truth about me liberates me because it helps me deal with those issues and come to God to help me deal with those. So I need to know the truth about me. Now, when I think about knowing the truth about me, I need to ask God to show me the truth about me. Because when you ask me the truth about me, I can tell you how good I am. Well, don't you? If you're not careful. But I say, God, what do you see in me? What's the truth about where I'm walking, about where I'm living, about what I'm doing, about what I'm thinking? And ask him to reveal that truth to me. And when he does, he doesn't reveal the concerns of our life and the needs of our life so he can put us down. He reveals them so we can say, God, take care of this. Change this in my life and let me live better. But I want to know the truth about me. The other scripture that's on your notes under that section says, Thomas said to him, to Jesus, and Jesus had talked about knowing, going, them going to be with him and so on. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So we're talking about truth and the truth making you free. I need to know the truth about salvation. Jesus said, it doesn't matter what I say always, but Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And nobody gets to the Father except through me. It doesn't matter what system you belong to. It doesn't matter what religious persuasions you have or how many times you read the Bible or attend a worship service or be kind or whatever. If you don't know Jesus, you don't get to heaven. In Jesus, though, if you know Jesus, you received him as Savior and Lord, you commit your life to walk with him through Jesus, I can know for sure that I'm born again by the grace of God. The truth about salvation is, if I accept what he has already done on the cross and in the resurrection and all that he did, I accept my salvation not based on my faith. My salvation is based on who Jesus is and my faith in him, yes. But my basis for my redemption is Jesus Christ, who he is, what he did, and what he'll do in my life. And I receive that. I need to receive it, yes. But my faith is in him. And the truth is, I'm only born again by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. And that's it. I don't care who tells you anything different. I don't care what preacher tells you different. I don't care what society tells you different. If you don't know Jesus, you're not getting into heaven. Only in faith in Jesus Christ and a commitment to Jesus, when you walk up to heaven's gates, whenever that happens, when you die or whether Jesus comes, he's not going to ask you about anything, but do you know my son, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord? Have you been born again of the Spirit? And if you can say yes, he says, come on in. If you can't say yes, he says, bye-bye. Now, that sounds cruel, but that's the way it is. That's what God says. That's not my words. That's his words. And so I want to know the truth, because the truth will set me free. Because when I believe the truth about what I need to do about it, and I accept that, then I become a born-again child of God, and I know I can go to heaven, and I'm safe. I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. And I need to know the truth about salvation. So when Jesus said, you know the truth will make you free, he's talking about the truth about a lot of stuff, but especially about Christ, and about salvation, about heaven and hell. Because after all, heaven is God's dominion, right? He has a right to tell us how we're going to get in. We don't have a right to tell God how to run his show. He's already decided how it's going to be, so we just have to get in on what he's doing. And it's through Jesus. Another aspect of it is, let Jesus give me freedom to do what is right. Let Jesus give me freedom to do what is right. Let me share with you what I think about that. It says, but, and again, I left out a letter there, a word. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to, and having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. What am I saying? He said in the Scripture, you've been liberated from sin, so that what? You can become enslaved to righteousness. That is, the real freedom in life is not through nothing. The real freedom in life is because I've committed myself to the freedom giver in Jesus. And in that surrender to Jesus, I find freedom. Now, it don't make sense to the human mind how that can be. But there's something about faith in Jesus that liberates me to do what is right. That Jesus gave me freedom to do what is right. What I'm saying is, because of Christ in my life, I am freed from sin, and I'm free to choose to do what is right. I'm choose to live a quality life. I'm free to know him in a very special way. And I do right because I want to do right. That's what Jesus changes. The freedom comes when we surrender ourselves to him. He frees us then to see life differently, to choose life differently, to do things right, because in our soul and heart, Jesus Christ is operating in us through his Holy Spirit to cause us to want to do right. He frees us to do right. It's not an obligation. It's not a, it is a responsibility, but it comes about because of this freedom in my heart. I'll mention one in my own journey. I'm free to do right. I'm convinced that as a Christian, I need to obey the laws of the land, unless they conflict with faith in Christ. So it frees me to obey him. I'm going to step on toes probably, but that's all right. When I drive down the road and it says 55 miles an hour, I'm free to drive 55 miles an hour. Not because the sign says it, but because as a child of God, I've committed myself to obey his laws, which means obeying the laws of the land, and I do it because I want to, not because a cop may be sitting around the corner waiting for me. That's just one way. You understand what I'm saying? Christ frees us to do what is right, because he lives in us and he wants us to do right, and we decide we want to do right. There's a great deal of freedom in that. If you're doing stuff because you're obligated, you're under a burden. If you come here today because you're obligated, oh, I've got to go to worship today, you're missing out. But if you come today because you know Christ and he frees you to do what is right, which is worship, and you come here because you want to worship, you're going to meet the Lord and you're going to have a good day in the Lord. Because you have freedom to choose that. So what I'm saying is, he not only frees us from the past and from the sin, but he frees us to live godly now and to choose to do what is right. Thank you, Lord, that I have that freedom. The last thing on your notes is, let Christ free me for quality living. These are two are sort of related, the last two. Let Jesus free me for quality living. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again. Be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Huh? Don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Christ set us free for freedom, he said. Now don't go back to slavery. What's he saying? I think one thing he's saying is, when you're born again of God and he forgives you of your sins and you confess them, don't go back under the slavery of the devil trying to put you under bondage again and saying to you you're guilty when you're not guilty. You see, when you come to Christ, and when I come to Christ and I confess my sin and He takes them away, they're gone. But the devil comes back and says, now, do you remember when you did that? You remember how bad you were that day? You remember these things you did, those thoughts you had? And that puts us back under slavery, under bondage. And I need to turn around and say, wait a minute, Jesus forgave me. It's cleansing me. I'm going to kick you out of here. I'm not accepting this. I'm not going to come under your slavery and your bondage of guilt and burden that's not mine anymore. It's been forgiven by the blood of Christ. And I'm going to walk in that freedom that Christ gives so I can live a quality of life in Him. I'm not going back under it. Now, any of you ever felt this? You ever had the devil come along and knock? Try to put you under bondage by reminding you of stuff? No. You still are the consequence of sin, yes. But you don't let Him do that. No, I'm not going there. I'm a child of the King. I've been forgiven. I'm going forward again. I want to live a quality life because I'm free. The other passage says, but now having been free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, it's not that quality of life. You get to live life now in Jesus. The wages of sin is death, always, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ. Now when do you enter eternal life? When can you say, I'm already involved in eternal life? From the moment you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you have entered into eternal life. This body's not going, but you as a person, your soul, your being, who you are inside you, is going to live forever with Jesus. So if you've been saved, you're already in eternal life. This body isn't, and I don't want it to go into eternal life anyway. You don't either. But I do want the new body and the new life. Well, what I'm saying is, that's quality of living. I'm going to live as a child of God, as a redeemed person who's been made new in Christ. And because of that freedom, I can grow in Christ. I can have quality life. Does that mean I won't have any problems? No, not saying that. Not saying everything will go smooth. Some people say you get saved and you never have any more problems. The only thing wrong with that is it ain't so. Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation, so but be good cheer, I've overcome it. But there is a freedom to quality of life. We can be more kind because of Jesus in us. We can be more thoughtful of other people and their needs because of Jesus. We can have more love for people because of Christ. That's a quality of life. We can have a better purpose. Aren't you glad for the purpose that Jesus gives you that makes life more meaningful, valuable? Because you've got a purpose in serving Christ and in being involved in Him. And notice what He said in the Scripture. In the end, we get what? Everlasting life. So you're involved in eternity. I need to remember, and I hope you remember, everything I do for Jesus today as a child of God affects the eternity that's coming. Because the more I serve Him now, the more the treasures I've got up there. The more I know Him now, the better I'll enjoy Him up there. My own personal conviction is that we will have perhaps greater degrees of enjoyment of heaven. Here's why I say that. As a husband or wife, you enjoy your mate better than anybody else because you know them. You spend time with them. The more I spend time with my Lord Jesus and worship Him, when I get there and see Him, I think I'm going to enjoy Him better because I've been getting to know Him already. And when I get there, I've got to know Him better than I did before. That's something to think about. I know sometimes it goes through your brain. You got to think about that. But I have a better purpose in life. He takes all my thoughts, all my desires captive. He changes our heart. He really does. I wish it was all that quick and it's all done. But I think that Christ changing us is a lifetime of learning to be molded and shaped. Because if He didn't, if we had it all at once, we don't need to stay here anyway. He'd just take it home. But we're learning. We're growing. We're developing. But I want to say to you, and you agree with me, I know, my quality of life because of Jesus has been tremendously better than it would have been without Him. Some of you came to know Christ later in life. I've had the privilege of knowing Jesus since I was 14. And I won't trade it for nothing. The quality of life and the relationships God's given us and given me in Jesus, it went way up because I committed my life to Christ as a 14-year-old boy. And I said, I'll do what you want. He's given me 57 years of this lady right here. And I'm grateful we just celebrated 57 years. Listen, to know the quality of life in Jesus, and I hope you have the same experience I'm talking about. She and I enjoy life together. Some of you tell me that when I retire, she'll get tired of me and want to kick me out. I don't think so. We enjoy each other so much. That's a quality of life. Why did I have that? She's a good wife. But I have it because of Jesus Christ and the transformation He made in my life as a 14-year-old, and has kept me growing on and on and on. And what I have today is because of who He is and what He's doing in our lives. And what I'm saying is, if you follow Jesus, the quality of life, freedom in Jesus goes way up. And it's a growing process. Because I've committed my life to Christ, there's more of everything that takes place. So I want to say to you today, let Jesus free you. If you're here today and you've got a big burden, a big weight on your shoulders, on your mind, and something just, would you bring it to Jesus? Maybe you're here and you feel guilty about something you've done. And if you haven't done it before, bring it to Jesus. Jesus, would you say, forgive me of this and change it? Maybe you're here today and you've never met Jesus at all. You've never been saved. You know about Jesus, but you never asked Him in your heart. Would you say to Him, dear Jesus, come and live in me? And I'll guarantee you, when He does, things inside you will change and you'll feel a whole lot different. There's something about the weight that goes off of you when you commit your life to Christ and begin living for Jesus. He does. You have that today. You don't have to wait till 4th of July to get it. He's here right now. Maybe you don't have anything on you. That's great. It's all right. I mean, God may have everything okay. You don't have to feel guilty. See, God doesn't point out guilt so we feel guilty. God points out needs because He wants to forgive it and change it to make it better, not to put a weight on our shoulders. So this day, I hope you'll let Jesus set you free. Maybe you're dealing with some past stuff. You need to say, God, forgive me, or God, you forgive me. Help me get rid of that. Help me to yield to the life of Christ in me. He's here. Let's bow together. Lord Jesus, you see all of us. You see what's binding us, and you see what's freeing us. And Lord, you know those who don't know you today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to their heart about living their life to Jesus. Lord, I believe you're here, and your Holy Spirit speaks to each of us about things in our life that we need to bring to you and find the liberty that's in Christ. My prayer is that we'll listen, and Lord, we'll leave here today freed people because we've come to the great freedom giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought our life to you this day. Lord, have your way in me and in every person in this building so that we leave here today obedient to Christ. We just pray that you would speak and we'll listen and then do what we understand you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and